Today I have a very special session of Staying Sane in Trying Times prepared for you. So this is the 9th session, and today I'm going to guide you through a meditation that's going to make you extremely relaxed. So for this one, I recommend that you be seated with something supporting your back. And if you lie down, there's a pretty good chance you're going to pass out and fall asleep. So I recommend that you do this this one sitting down. And that way, it's less likely that you fall asleep, but you still get the full benefit of it. All right. Let's see what we got here. Very good. Welcome, welcome, everybody. And if you've never been hypnotized before, this is basically a shortened hypnosis session, just the relaxation part. So we're not going to help anybody actually quit smoking or anything, not quite yet, but you may use this session to get yourself in a very, very relaxed and comfortable state. Welcome Albert on the Facebook Live. Welcome everybody. And so the structure of this is like the other ones, 15 minutes of meditation, and then about a 30-minute talk followed by question and answer session. All right. Welcome, Elliot. I'm going to get started in about a minute. All right. Welcome, everybody. Glad you can make it. And in 1 minute, I'm going to start today's session. We're going to do a 15-minute guided meditation, for which I recommend that you sit somewhere where your back is supported. You may lie down if you wish, but I recommend that you sit. If you lie down, you may fall asleep, and then you won't hear me, and that's less fun. And after that, I'll do a 30-minute talk on some stuff that is going to change the way you apportion your time and energy in your life towards being happier. Fantastic. All right, let's begin. So take a deep breath and close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, I invite you to imagine that a warm wave of relaxation is moving down your body. Imagine a warm wave of relaxation moving down your body, starting from the top of your head. Every part of your body that this warm wave of relaxation touches becomes relaxed and comfortable and warm. So comfortable, so relaxed, so warm. Like a gentle ocean wave, a warm ocean wave washing down your body, starting from the top of your head down to the muscles of your neck, to the muscles of your shoulders. And let's remember all those muscles of your face, all those muscles you use all day long to talk, to smile, maybe to grimace, to chew. Just imagine that this warm wave of relaxation can penetrate deep into those individual muscles of your face, allowing you to just relax. Just let go completely. As the warm wave of relaxation moves on down to the muscles of your shoulder and upper chest and upper back, allow yourself to let that wave of relaxation penetrate into the big muscles of your shoulders and neck, the trapezius muscles, the pectoralis muscles, your upper back, as you continue to allow that warm wave of relaxation to wash down your body, down to your lower back, to the muscles of your abdomen. That's right. Just let that warm wave of relaxation wash over you. And then go deep into the muscles of your lower back, the muscles that you use every day to stand up and to walk. You can just allow those muscles to let go now and relax completely as you move on down to the muscles of your buttocks, all the muscles around your pelvic girdle. These are the big and small muscles that hold you up and move you around and get so little recognition. So give them some recognition now. Allow them to relax completely. Allow this warm wave of relaxation to just go deep into every single muscle fiber and let it go totally. That's right. And remember to continue to take deep breaths. And with each deep inhalation, allow that warmth and relaxation to penetrate deeper into your muscles, all the way down into your bones, the very marrow. With each exhalation, let go of any remaining tension, any remaining fatigue, any remaining stress. Just blow it out completely. Bring in the warmth and relaxation. And let go of any fatigue, any stress that may have been there. As you continue to allow that warm wave of relaxation to move on down your body, down to the big muscles of your thighs, in the front, the quadriceps, in the back, the hamstrings. You can just allow all those muscles to relax completely. That's right. Just let them go. Let this wave of relaxation wash over you totally. As you continue to allow this wave of relaxation to move down your body to your calves and your shins. Your shins have muscles in front of them. It's called the tibialis anterior. And every time you take a step, you are using that muscle. So go ahead and allow this deep relaxation, this deep warmth, to penetrate into that muscle of your shin and also the big muscles of your calves, some of the strongest muscles of your body, the ones you always use when you stand up or walk around. Go ahead and send them some love. Allow this deep warmth to go to every muscle fiber and let them relax completely. That's right. Moving on down to your feet. Allow this warm wave of relaxation to move all the way down into the muscles of your feet. Every muscle can just let go. Every muscle fiber can be bathed in this warmth and relaxation. And perhaps this warmth and relaxation, this very comfortable and soothing sensation, has a color for you. Now, I don't know what that color is for you, but for me, it's a very pleasant purple. And just allow that color to radiate through your body with each breath. So you now breathe in that color from the outside. Now allow it to penetrate your body in a wave that goes all the way from the top of your head down to the very tips of your toes. With each breath that you take, your body becomes more and more filled with this energy that has the color of relaxation and warmth. Take a nice few deep breaths like this. Let's take five deep breaths like this together, bringing in that incredibly relaxing color into your body. One, take a deep breath in. Let go even more. Number two, take a super deep breath in. Go ahead and make that sound as you let go completely. Allow yourself to sink into this feeling of incredible warmth and relaxation. Three, breathe in that color and let it penetrate every corner of your body, from the top of your head to your neck, shoulders, chest, all the way down to the tips of your toes, blowing out any remaining stress, any remaining tension. Just whoo, blow it out completely. And four, take a super deep breath in. Really slowly bring in all that positive energy and relaxation. And then just allow it to move through your body. So your whole body is a giant sheet of relaxation, warmth, that's now radiating and pulsating with this color. Five, nice deep breath in. Allow it to really settle into your body. Warmth and relaxation everywhere, expelling all the tension, all the discomfort, all the feelings that may have been challenging. You just blow those out. Now I invite you to bring in a different kind of energy. To me, one of the most powerful ways of being is to have great energy of movement and positivity and action in the background of deep relaxation and equanimity and calm. You've now created the background of equanimity and calm. So to that, we're going to add some positive energy. So in a few minutes, when we all open our eyes and become more present to the world, you can feel that juice running through you. That's right. That energy, that power. So imagine that positive energy of motion, of activity, of productivity. And maybe this has a different color for you. For me, it has a color that's kind of like this pure white color, pure white energy coming in, and allow that to come in through the top of your head with each deep breath that you take. And allow that wave to move down through your body as we take the next five breaths together to energize yourself with this new white light, white energy, being fully alive and energized. Starting with one, bringing that white light of activity and feeling it go all the way out to your fingertips, that tingly sensation, that bubbly sensation, all the way down to your toes. Two, take a deep breath in, and this time hold it for a count of 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, 4, as you push it out to every part of your body, and then relax completely. Three, this time hold it and actually press in as if you're pushing the air out into every part of your body, like you're squeezing the balloon of your lungs, so you can take this energy and really move it into every part of you. Three, take a deep breath in and hold it and push it out. Press on a little bit. Imagine it going to your thighs, going to your calves, going to your feet, going to your liver, to your kidneys, to your lower back, torso, everywhere, and let out. And four, let's do it one more time. Deep breath in. Feel that energy. See that white light moving through you. Every part of your body. Imagine your body glowing with this white light now as you take a fifth breath together. Five. Sending out to your fingertips. Maybe your fingertips want to open up really wide so you can feel it even more all the way through your body. Now what's going to happen is that your body is this sheet of white light, white positive energy of action. And what you're going to do is you're going to notice how when you breathe out, you actually breathe it out into the room. So the room becomes filled with this white light, this white energy. So take a deep breath in and your body is a source of this white light energy as you breathe it out into the room. One more time. As you do that, the room becomes filled out with this white light energy and you start to breathe it back in a loop, which intensifies that feeling in your body. 10 more breaths like this. Breathing in the white light and then breathing it out, creating this loop of intensification so your body starts to glow more and more. If you're feeling warmer, that's exactly what's supposed to happen. Warmer and more tingly. 7 more. Here we go. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2. And 1. Woohoo! Feel it, shake out your hands, open up your eyes, and feel that energy moving through your body of both being fully energized and fully relaxed at the same time, which is the space from which you can be most effective in life. The background of equanimity overlaid with this pure energy of movement, of creativity, of action. All right, good. So, how y'all doing? Unmute all. If you're feeling a little zonked, that is totally normal. So how y'all doing? I can hear you now. I've unmuted you. Say hi. Hello. Good to see you.
Hey, Ollie.
All right. Welcome. Hi. Welcome. Welcome, Angela, Anita. We have people from Colombia, England, from all over. Hello, all the people on Facebook Live. So that is a little flavor of what hypnosis is like. So a little mixture of guided meditation, a little bit of energizing exercises. And this is stuff that's available to you at all times. So this was a little bit like a formal session where I had you close your eyes. So for example, you don't want to do this when you're driving or riding a bike, but any other time, you can quickly do 3 or 4 breaths, imagine a wave of relaxation moving through your body, and now you've kind of encoded what color that is, so just move that color through you and notice how when you're doing something like this, worry, fear, doubt, all this stuff just kind of goes very, very far away as you overlay a whole physiology of equanimity and peace and power. And the thing that I want you guys to take away from this most of all is that this power is in you. It's within you. All I'm doing is drawing it out. I can't do anything that wasn't already in there. And this is available to you at any time. And if you want to lead yourself through it, you can do that. If you want to listen to my version, well, the recordings are available. You can do that. And it's really quick. It's really simple. It only takes a few minutes. So we did a 15-minute version or so. You could do a 2-minute version and it will still have an effect. And this is why I call my work creative repatterning. Because what you're doing is you're using the creativity of your own mind to repattern your brain, repattern your mind, and by extension, repattern your life. And by extension, because we're all connected beings, repattern all of society. Because when you do this kind of thing, it affects other people. When you become an epicenter of equanimity, of peace, of positive energy, other people are infected by this. Coronavirus is not the only infected thing out there. This is too. So before we begin, I always ask you guys to rate yourself 1 to 10 on a happiness scale and rate yourself 1 to 10 on a misery scale. So I always forget to do it before we start the meditation because usually people feel better after the meditation. But the idea is, well, how did you feel before the meditation? What was on your mind? Where were you on the misery scale? Misery, so 10 being down in the dumps, you know, all my family died and my home just crumbled in an earthquake. And 1 to 10 on the happiness scale, 10 being Oh my God, deliriously happy, cannot be happier, and one being down in the dumps. So give yourself that rating because it's very important to notice that you're doing these things. It's very important to notice that this stuff is working somehow. I haven't invented a happy-o-meter yet, but if there were one, you want to be able to notice that, oh, the happiness shifted. I did something and it worked. And then that gives your brain a signal to do that thing more often. If that thing is to show up at the Staying Sane sessions with Dr. Ali Benazir, then more power to you. You should definitely do that. But it's important to monitor this kind of thing. And monitoring your mood is a good idea too, because that way you can do something about it and notice what works and notice what brings it down and notice what brings it up. And as I've mentioned before, it's also important to have a separate happiness scale and a separate misery scale, because they're actually two different systems in your body, right? So your body mind has a whole system for alarm and fear to keep you alive, right? And that is completely separate from the system that keeps you happy and connected and super functional, okay? In fact, the misery part shuts down the happy part, because if you're being chased by a saber-toothed cat, ain't no time for happiness, buddy. You gotta run. So have that, monitor it, and also at the end of our session today, make sure you reassess. Okay, so today I'm going to give you a simple tool that you can use all the time, and then I'm going to give you a lecture about a series of practices, what I call the happiness action principles, because again, this is about using your creativity, using your ability to act. So I gave you this positive energy meditation to get you energized, to get you to the point where you can act, you can do stuff, because one of the byproducts of being in this lockdown situation is people can become lethargic. People can feel restricted, like they're in this self-imposed or state-imposed cage. So it's very important to maintain that energy level so you can be active and create and produce and be the best version of you. So first of all, who do you take advice from? That's a question that I have for people. And a lot of people have like this higher source, higher power, right? So what I invite you to do right now is to imagine a big issue you're having with your life these days. So if you're willing to share that in the chat window, that'd be fantastic. And just remember that whenever you're sharing your problems, you're really sharing, because whatever issue it is you're having, guess what? There are millions of other people who are having the same issue. So when you do that, it's actually an act of generosity. So what is happening with your life? Maybe you're feeling lonely. Maybe you lost your job and you're feeling financially insecure. Maybe you got sick a little bit and you are fearing for your health and maybe your life. Maybe friends got sick and you're fearing for their life and their sickness. So whatever it is, go ahead and think of what that is, because what we're going to do is we're going to use that issue that you have as a template for what I call the Beatles protocol. That's right, the Beatles. So find your issue. You got your issue? Yes? Okay, everybody's got an issue. Great. So now I want you to close your eyes and imagine that incredibly sage source of advice that you would normally take refuge in. If you happen to be of a religious nature, that could be the Buddha. It could be Mother Mary. It could be Jesus Christ. It could be Moses. It could be the Lord himself. I don't know who it is that you refer to when you are in a spot where you need some really good advice, okay? Whom do you pray to when the shit hits the fan? That's the question, okay? And I want you to go ahead and visualize that person. It could be your guardian angels. In fact, guardian angel, that's a pretty neutral thing. Could be, you know, some celestial bodhisattva, like Avalokiteshvara or Kuan Yin or somebody, right? But go ahead and visualize that person, okay? And ask that person in all earnestness. It's like, hey, here's my situation. What should I do? Okay. Okay. You got it? You got that? Okay. And when you have an answer, go ahead and raise your hand on the Zoom or, okay. Great. Okay, we've got a good one. We've got a really solid one. We've got one. The issue is, I am being abused in an abusive relationship. I am in a lockdown with my abuser. Sanity is totally welcomed. Okay, if you thought you had a problem, guess what? Your problem just got eclipsed by a bigger problem, unless you have me on a ventilator, in which case you probably have a very big problem, but you're also probably not on this call. So that is a solid issue. So go ahead and ask your guardian angel, ask Mother Mary, and you get it why I call the Beatles protocol? Because, you know, Mother Mary talked to me. And what did she say? She whispered words of wisdom. What are those words of wisdom? Go ahead and ask your source, your personal Mother Mary, what that is. And some time ago, I had a question about that, and it was about relationships and things. And it's like, oh, you know, I had this specific thing. What should I do about it? And my guide told me, hey, go ahead and ask your guardian angel. So, you know, I closed my eyes and I did. And what my higher power, higher self, source of good advice said to me was, look, if you were to practice opening your heart more, then you would attract more of the right kind of people in your life. And this particular person, this particular issue would not be a problem for you. I'm like, oh, that is truly wise. And I thought, wait, who said that? There is no Mother Mary. There is no guardian angel. It all came from inside my head. So right now, whatever incredibly wise counsel you came up with for your particular problem, it came from you. All you did was you pretended that you're accessing some higher power, some wiser source, and it gave you an answer. And it works. It works. And this meta position to yourself, this ability to take a step above and look down on you and what's happening, you can do that at any time if you actually take the time and do it. Okay, so this is what I call the Beatles protocol. And the idea is you summon your own Mother Mary and you ask the question and you get an answer. And that answer is going to be very specific to you. So, you know, I'm a professional advice giver. That's part of my job. So, yeah, I may come up with something that's useful. But whatever you come up with is going to be very specific to your situation in a way that nobody else can possibly know. So I encourage you to use the Mother Mary, the Beatles protocol, to solve your own problems because it works. Okay, fantastic. And... well, okay, and to give everybody the answer that our friend who had the problem being locked up with her tormentor is, my guardian angel told me to work on my dreams and I shall be out of this. This too shall pass. And that is wise. That is incontrovertible wisdom. That works. And look, I don't care where you are on the spectrum of woo-woo to highly scientific. You can call it a guardian angel. You can call it your higher self. You can call it your metacognitive abilities. If you use this technique, it'll give you an answer, and it's usually a pretty darn good answer. Okay, good. So let's keep going. So the thing that I have prepared for you is something I've been thinking about for a long time, and it's a big part of the happiness engineering system. So I've been working on happiness engineering for the past 8 years, and what I've been thinking is that a lot of where happiness comes from is from activity. It's from doing things. It comes from using your creativity. So we live in these societies where we are bombarded by messages to consume. So, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I do watch Jeopardy with my mom. And when we're watching Jeopardy together, I cannot help but notice that these ads are all about consumption. They want you to buy more stuff. So, you know, Jack in the Box, working, blah, 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 eat more, become even fatter, America. And, you know, that's not necessarily the kind of thing that's going to make you happy, even though the advertisements are trying to tell you that they're going to make you happy. Okay. And then a lot of the other stuff is about comparison. So, oh, is your car as good as this person's? Are you as fashionable as you possibly could be compared to the rest of the people? And social media is obviously a comparison machine designed to make you pretty miserable. And our minds are also comparison machines and consumption machines. So these are all part of our early evolutionary genetic makeup. They're completely natural, but there's parts of you that make you a happier, more productive, more joyous version of you. And there's parts of you which are also natural that bring you down and make you less happy. So what are the options we have? What are the things that we can do instead of comparison and consumption? So I'm calling these the five happiness active principles. And they're inspired by reading a book, which is a fantastic book. It's called The Social Leap, The New Evolutionary Science of Who We Are, Where We Come From, and What Makes Us Happy by Professor William Von Hippel of Queensland University. American fella doing his work in Australia now. And it's fascinating because his framework is that, look, happiness is like this byproduct. Your brain, everything that you've got in evolution is designed to make you survive. And then your brain kind of designed this little neat little feature called happiness. And it made you happy anytime you did stuff that helped your survival. Okay, so think about that, okay? Evolution has designed happiness to signal to us that the thing that we're doing is good for our survival, for both us and our group. And the title of the book is The Social Leap. So it's all about social, right? So humans used to be not very social beings, right? And that social leap happened about 300,000 years ago as we came down from the trees and became a much, much more successful species by cooperating. Because if you came down from the trees on the savannah and it's you versus saber-toothed cat, guess what? That's saber-toothed cat one, early human zero, right? But if you got a whole bunch of people and they're all throwing rocks at the saber-toothed cat, guess what? Humans one, saber-toothed cat zero. So we succeeded by banding together. And so a huge amount of evolution has been geared towards us becoming more social creatures. And therefore, those social activities, because they're pro-survival, they tend to make us happy. Interesting, huh? So, and from that, I've derived what I call the five happiness active principles. And they're all about doing things. They're all about taking action. It's not about passively consuming. It's about being an epicenter of activity, of generativity, of creativity, of genius, okay? And the first one is learning. Learning feels good. Why does learning feel good? Because when you learn how to like chip a stone and make a weapon out of it, or when you learn how to build a fire, guess what? You did better, your family did better, your offspring did better, those genes got passed on. So right now we got this deep evolutionary programming to make learning feel good. And now is an outstanding time to go out and learn new stuff. There's an infinite number of YouTube videos. There's an infinite number of online courses. I highly recommend The Great Courses. You can get a month subscription for free, and afterwards, you'll probably be hooked for $20 a month. Amazing. They do not pay me. I'm just addicted. And there's also books. Books. Did I mention books? There are also books. You can read those. Okay. And also, this is a good time for me to make a distinction between short-term and long-term happiness. So short-term happiness is more like pleasure. Technically, they call it synchronic happiness. It makes you happy. Boop, right now, you put the chocolate in your mouth and boom, you're happy. And then there's diachronic happiness. Diachronic is the thing that makes you happy in the long run. So if you like go to your carpentry shop and you build a table, wow, you got a table. So the table building itself might be somewhat effortful, but guess what? You just have a table. You look at it every time, you feel proud. That's diachronic happiness, right? That lasts through time. So what we're focusing on here is diachronic happiness, the thing that makes you happy in the long run, okay? So chocolate, yes, I'm a big fan of chocolate. It makes you happy, but are you going to be happy about that piece of chocolate 2 weeks after you ate it? Depends on the chocolate, but probably not 2 weeks and definitely not 2 years, right? But when you build that table is yours. It's proud. You tell people, I built that table. Yeah. Or anything else, right? And that's part of the reason why people take so much pleasure in raising kids, because even though it's a colossal pain in the ass, as far as I can tell, here's a result, a walking, talking human who does things and, you know, plays basketball and makes you proud. Maybe, we hope. So that's learning. Learning is good, and learning leads to authentic pride. And I'm hoping that the end result of learning is to create things. So creating is the second happiness active principle. And if you notice that is an acronym that spells HAP, boom, you are correct. Total coincidence. I mean, happiness engineering, HAP, who knew? But happiness active principle number two is creating. And the idea is, look, we're all born creators, okay? And creating stuff that wasn't there before, thinking like, you know, I'm thinking tools, I'm thinking buildings, I'm thinking babies. This is the thing that helps the species survive. And therefore, evolution has made darn sure that creating feels really, really good. In fact, I'm willing to go on a limb and say that creating is like one of the most pleasurable things you can possibly do. I mean, one of the big kicks I get out of the work that I do is having written. I write something and afterwards I read, I'm like, hey, that does not totally suck. Who knew? So creating, go forth and create things. One of the things that can get in the way of your creativity is maybe a perfectionistic streak, okay? And I am certainly guilty of that, have been guilty of that my entire life. And to that, I would say, start small. Start really small. Just do something. Say you're going to write one line a day. There's a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. It goes into extensive detail about how to incorporate this technique into your life. So start small and then build on it, right? And most important, make it a habit. So just set aside a time every day to do something creative. So what I encourage you to do right now, in the next minute, is to actually pick up your darn calendar, and don't tell me you don't have it, because if you are on your computer right now, your calendar is right there. So pick up, if you're on your phone, guess what? Calendar is still there. So go in there and pick a time, 15-minute time slot. Not a huge commitment. 15 minutes. To do something creative. And think about what that is. What is the creative thing you're going to do? Are you going to pick up your camera and take some photos? Are you going to doodle? Doodling is creative. It wasn't there before. You made it, okay? Doodle, write something, make a dish. Pick your version of creativity, right? Pick up some crayons and, I don't know, write on your wall. Okay, don't write on your wall, but something creative. Hey, if you're an artist and maybe you can make a mural, I don't know, maybe you can write on your wall, okay? But the point is, do it. And the key to creating genius is volume. So if you make this creativity thing a habit, greatness will come of it. The reason Picasso is such a well-known artist is because he cranked out thousands of pieces, of which most of it was dreck, some of it was good, and got passed down to us that we see it. Okay, good. All right, good to see you on the Facebook Live. Nick, Anthony, good to see you all. Let's go to happiness active principle number 3, and that is sharing. Hey, you made something. What are you going to do now? You're going to hoard it? You're going to keep it to yourself and not show it to the world? Of course not. You're going to share it. We are designed to be sharing creatures. So when we were hunter-gatherers on the savannah, if you kill an antelope, guess what? That meat's going to rot, so it doesn't make sense to hoard it. And besides, someday you're not going to have a kill and the other person in your tribe is going to have some antelope meat. So if you share today, that guarantees that everybody is provided in the long run. So sharing is a huge part of our evolutionary makeup for survival. And what happened was 10,000 years ago, this thing happened, which scientists like Jared Diamond say was the greatest misery to befall human beings. And that was that we went from being hunter-gatherers to an agrarian society where you growed grains. And now you had too much. Now you had surplus. This whole idea of property and wealth came into being. So private property and wealth. And then people started hoarding because it's like, this is mine. I can't give it to you. So that is also part of who we are. So you have to actually activate the whole sharing muscle and do it. So think of some things you can share with others, especially during this time. And speaking of time, that is probably the biggest thing you can share with people. So give them a ring, be there for them, and a share of yourself. So some examples I came up with. You can share a homemade meal. I mean, put outside that door and run away so you're physically distanced, but that way you're not socially distanced, right? Or if there are people that you already share space and germs with, you can share that in your household. You can write someone a poem or a letter of appreciation. That is not a whole lot of effort, but it is hugely appreciated, and it's sharing of you, your energy, your time. You can send friends a funny joke or video. With a couple of friends of mine, I have a little give and take. I see something funny, I send it to them. They see something funny, they send it to me. Actually, they send me 10 things. So it's great. And I'm just like, cool. Anytime he sends me something, I'm like, this is going to be good stuff. Well, mostly good stuff. Anyway, make a list of your favorite books and send it to your friends. So that, again, is a form of sharing. Start a blog or a podcast to share your ideas. That is a form of sharing. And again, the key is to start small, start simple, and put it on the calendar so you actually do it. Start the sharing habit. Okay. So number four is huge and tremendously obvious. And the other book that kind of motivated this talk is the one by Vivek Murthy, the 19th Surgeon General of the United States. He was Surgeon General under Barack Obama. Great guy, amazing guy. I saw him speak at the last seminar that I attended, which is Wisdom 2.0, and he's fantastic. So the fourth principle is connect. So it's pretty straightforward. The better connected tribe members are to one another, and the more bonds of friendship and trust they have, the better that tribe can function against outside enemies and also in the hunt, and that helped our survival. So connecting to others is a huge, huge part of our evolutionary makeup, and it's one of the things that makes us super happy. In fact, it is the thing that makes us happy. There is the 75-year-long Harvard Grant study that started with the Harvard class of 1939 to 1942, included such luminaries as Norman Mailer and John F. Kennedy, and still goes on. And the main finding was that love equals happiness. Connection equals happiness. And the main thing you want to do in life, your main purpose in life, is to A, build up the love, give it priority, and two, get rid of the things that block love. So it's all about the loving. It's all about the connection. So, and this is why feeling disconnected feels so horrible. In ancient times, exile was the ultimate punishment, worse than death. So disconnecting you from your tribe, that was like the worst thing that could possibly happen to you. And think about it, 300,000 years ago, if you were expelled from the tribe, that was tantamount to death, because now you have no protection from predators and you have no protection from other marauding tribes. So you're basically screwed. So connection is great. And Vivek Murthy's book is called Together, The Healing Power of Connection in a Sometimes Lonely World. And he's talking about the loneliness epidemic in the Western world and how people used to have five confidants. Five people on average that you could talk to about what's going on in your life. And these days, people have one or less than one. What's that, like a three-quarter human? Like they're missing an arm or a leg? It makes no sense. People stopped having real friendships. And dude, I got to tell you, I've got 3,660 Facebook friends. I am one of the most hyper, ridiculously social people I know, okay? And if I call 10 friends, I may get one call back, maybe one. Okay, so if this is happening to me, it must be happening to everybody else. People are not calling each other back. People are not calling each other up. People are just not connected. So in this particular situation of being under lockdown and maybe even isolated, it is so important to not just reach out, but also be receptive and respond. When people call back, they text back, or just call them unprompted. It's okay, millennials. Calling is okay. You will not catch anything through the call, and it's kind of like talking. So I encourage you all to use that gizmo. And hey, we now have video calls, which add another layer of intimacy. You can actually see the people's faces. That's why I'm now doing these Zoom talks over video, webinars over video, as opposed to the other platforms I use where you couldn't see my face. This helps connect to you. It helps me see you as well. So straight out of Dr. Murthy's books, he has. A bunch of recommendations. So number one is spend time each day with those you love. Okay. Number two is focus on each other. So when you are spending time, be there fully. Do not be noodling on something. Do not be texting. Do not be playing a video game. Give your full attention. I'm doing my best facsimile of giving you my full attention by looking directly into the camera, that camera right there too. And so what you want to do is you want to be fully present. And number three is you want to embrace solitude. So this is what I love about Dr. Murthy's book, which is that he goes deep. He goes to the wisdom. You're like, wait a sec. You just said you want me to connect, but now you're saying embrace solitude. Well, guess what? The prerequisite for being present for other people is to just be present at all. So when you embrace solitude, you start to like yourself better. You start to be more comfortable with you. And that way, when you call somebody up, you're not thinking, God, I'm such a burden. I mean, what if they reject me? You're just like, hey, I am here for you. So I'll just read what Dr. Murthy wrote, because I can't do better than that. The first step toward building stronger connections with others is to build a stronger connection with oneself. Solitude helps us do that by allowing us to check in with our own feelings and thoughts, to explore our creativity, to connect with nature. Meditation, prayer, art, music, and time spent outdoors can all be sources of solitary comfort and joy. So yes, you can go for a walk on your own, go hug a tree. I believe that's still legal. And that way, you're doing it deliberately. So loneliness is the thing that you feel when you're under the impression that it's imposed on you and you can't access other people. But once you start to make it intentional, then that's solitude. And that's a pretty solid and kind of fun thing to do if you make it so. Okay, so frame it as solitude and you will feel even better. And number five is support. So tribes whose members supported one another in trying times such as illness, famine, war, pandemic, they just did better, okay? And obviously, there, when you do better, your offspring survived, make it the next generation. So supporting one another, so, so, so important. And therefore, evolution has designed us such that supporting one another feels really good. And the question is, how do you do it if you can't come within 6 feet of each other? Well, you know, there's a bunch of ways you can. So Dr. Murthy says, look, it's about giving and allowing to be given too. So giving and receiving. He says, help and be helped. Service is a form of human connection that reminds us of our value and purpose in life. Giving and receiving, both strengthen our bonds. Checking on a neighbor, seeking advice, even just offering a smile to a stranger 6 feet away, all can make us stronger. And the thing is, you want to put this on your agenda. You want to make this something that you do on a regular basis. This is who you are. This is what you do. And that way it becomes a habit. Again, the thing you want to do is to make all these things a big old habit so you don't have to think about them. So here's my list. Give a helping hand, like Dr. Murthy said. Check up on friends and cheer them up. So one of the most effective ways of cheering yourself up is to cheer somebody else up. Totally works. And mentor someone. Okay, so actually number three is teach. So teaching is go and teach somebody something. That's what I'm doing right now. And if this is therapy for you, guess what? It's therapy for me too. I get to connect with you. I get to teach what I know, stuff that I'm really excited about. So I get to carry this afterglow with me for the rest of the week. It's awesome. Give an online seminar, make an instructional video. You know something, you can know how to do something. So make it so you can teach it and then share it. That was another one of the principles. And then number four is mentor someone. And that's a much longer term idea of teaching. You find someone who is junior to you, either younger to you or been in your company a little bit less, and you're in a position to help them grow. And just like people enjoy watching plants grow or pets grow, we also enjoy watching people grow. And that's a very, very powerful thing. And it's a longitudinal thing. A mentorship can last a whole lifetime. So, see if you can incorporate that into your life. And finally, number five is listen. So if you think about it, therapists are basically people that we pay thousands of dollars to pretend that they're our friends without judging us. Okay? So do you have any friends who don't judge you? I don't. But a therapist will do that for you for just a couple hundred bucks an hour. So guess what? You can make yourself that friend who listens without judgment if you choose to do so. So the key part is listen without judgment. Can you actually listen, or do you have to jump in with your opinion and say, oh my God, totally, I understand you? Or can you just create this space where your friend can be and just be herself or be himself? And you can say something like, hey, I see where you're coming from. Wow, that sounds really challenging. Even saying something like, I really understand, is a bit patronizing because you're not that person. How the hell can you understand, right? So being there is the best thing you can do. You're saying, yes, that sounds challenging. Yes, I'm here with you. Is there anything else you want to share? And that is hugely therapeutic. In fact, that is the basis of the entire therapy industry. So, all right. So these are some principles you can use to make your life much more joyous, much more happier, and to make yourself a lot more resilient. The idea is that these are habits you can develop. And I've just spoken to you, and I told you what these things are. And I'm pretty darn sure that less than 5% of you are going to incorporate even one of these things in the long run. just because that's the way humans are. I mean, I've learned a lot of things from books, and I am not a trillionaire super genius yet. So what is up with that? It's because information is one thing, transformation is a different thing. So you got to go from information to actually learning and knowledge, and then you got to use that, and then becomes transformation. So for those of you who are interested in real transformation, I've created this course called Happiness Engineering. And I'm looking for about 20 people who are dedicated to this notion of incorporating this stuff, these practices into your lives. So you become the most joyous and the most giving version of you. Because in the end, I believe that our purpose on earth is one thing and one thing only, is to give our gift. I don't know what your gift is. I don't know what that thing is that you know to do very, very well that is going to radiate out to other people and enhance their lives and make their lives warmer. But whatever it is, it's very important that you give that gift as best you can before you croak. So to that end, we've got Happiness Engineering. So go to happinessengineering.com and happinessengineering.com/apply. That is the website. That is the application. So if that is the thing that you feel you are called to do to grow into your best possible self, that is the course for you. It's going to be 3 months long, and each session we're going to go through one of these practices and also figure out how to incorporate it into your life with the help of the other people in the group, because that's how people change. And it's a social thing. We help each other. We see each other progress, and that way these behaviors become part of you and not just something that I talk about for an hour or so. So that said, I have talked for an hour or so. So now is a very good time for you to ask questions. So if you have questions, go ahead and put them in the chat box here. And I'm going to unmute you all and say, hello, how you all doing? Can you hear me? Let me see. Unmute all.
Yes.
Woohoo! Yes. All right. Good to sort of see you. There's like... actually, no cameras rolling right now. There's one. There you go. There's one happy face, smiling face there. So how are you feeling? Did you like the energizing meditation? Yes. Did it work for you?
Yes.
So yes. All right. Good. Fantastic. And are you going to use it again? Say yes, you will. And you also have the Mother Mary Beatles protocol. You're going to use that too. All right.
This one did work for me.
Okay, well, you know, I give you a whole bunch of things, and whatever works for you, you keep on using. If it doesn't, you use the thing that did work. Okay, fantastic. So if you have questions, now is a very good time to either raise your hand, put it in the chat window, or just go ahead and ask me however you know. Hello, people on Facebook Live. Thank you so much for watching. And if you don't have questions, that's totally cool too. Let's see if there's anything else I want to mention here. Yeah, so I'll mention again the names of those two books. The Social Leap by William von Hippel. Boop. And the other one is Together by Vivek Murthy. These are fantastic books. I'll be speaking about these books till the end of days. So expect more mentions of this later on. The Together book is fantastic, and it's extremely timely, especially in this era of social distancing and physical distancing and social isolation. So Atomic Habits is by James Clear. Yes, these people should all give me a cut, but the books are good, so they are intrinsically worthwhile. I'm happy to tell people about them. In fact, I may be launching a podcast of my own in which I talk about books just like this. So if you think that's a good idea, send me an email to encourage me, because I need encouragement too. I'm just sitting here, me and the walls, and they're not hugely encouraging, surprisingly enough. So if you think that you'd like to listen to my new podcast, which is called The Ideaverse, the insanely great book podcast, then please let me know, and that way I will have more encouragement. Well, thank you, Alexandra, for the encouragement. Very much appreciated. Yes, so we have a question here. All right. Hello, AR, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much for this wonderful webinar. It's been totally amazing listening to you.
So I'm so glad you can make it.
Thank you very much. So I have a quick question. So like, I have been reading your profile and all, and it's that you have enormous experience. You've been meditating, you've been reading a lot and everything. So if you look at happiness, and like, there are so many different ways to be happy, which of these ways do you think is the stickiest of all?
Wait, what's the last one? I didn't catch the last part. So many ways of being happy.
Sure.
And then what?
So out of these so many different ways to be happy, which of these ways you think is the stickiest of all?
The
stickiest.
Okay, the most lasting. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay, so you want a solution that lasts. Okay, good. So, well, that's an excellent question. So the question is, hey, Dr. Ali, you've studied all this stuff. You talk about all these different ways of being happy. Which is the stickiest? Which is the most effective? And I like to think of happiness as one unitary thing. And it's all about this idea of diachronic happiness, the idea of long-term happiness. And it doesn't look like, woohoo, jumping around all the time, skipping through the fields, and laughing like a crazy hyena. It's more like, hey, here's the world, and it's pretty wonderful, and I'm cool with it. And to maintain that, even when there are outward signs that don't look like the world is necessarily all that great. So, for example, pandemic. For example, a person you don't really like who is in your household every day and makes you a little miserable, right? So, but I was thinking about an example. Last session, I talked about trauma and how there's this one researcher who talks about how you have potentially traumatic events, he calls them PTEs, but not necessarily trauma, because let's think about it, right? So let's say worst case scenario, right? You live with somebody in your household who beats you up, and that's very painful and unpleasant, right? But there are a subset of people in this world who subject themselves to that willingly. They're called boxers and MMA fighters, right? And when they go in a ring and they get beat up, they come out and they're beat up. They've got, you know, bruises, cuts and stuff, but they're not traumatized. Unless they get a brain injury, that's a different story, right? But they're not like, oh my God, I went to this ring and this Brazilian MMA guy just beat the crap out of me. It was so hard, right? I don't make light of it, but the fact is they got beat up, but they don't feel like they were beat, right? It's not traumatic to them because they chose to go in there. But it's the frame around it is I'm going in there to fight. And therefore, there's a probability that I'm going to get hit and it's going to hurt and I'm cool with it and I'm not going to dwell on it, right? I don't necessarily recommend, by the way, boxing or MMA because people can get brain injuries. But the point is, how are you framing the pain in your life? Are you framing it as merely pain or are you framing it as also suffering? And so if you are, say, with a tormentor in your household, right, what if you adopt the, this is a fight and I'm going to win it, frame, right? And that way, look, it's going to suck no matter what while it's happening, but at least in the long run, for the 60 years of your life that this is hopefully not going to be part of your life, you're not going to dwell on it. And also, the other statistic which is interesting is that about 2/3 of people who experience some kind of heavily traumatic event actually get traumatized. You know, they recede in their shell, they're not super happy for a while, but a third don't. A third actually experience this thing called post-traumatic growth. They grow out of it. So if you've read, say, the book by Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. So his wife was killed. His whole family was killed. He came out of Auschwitz, and he ended up becoming someone who helped other people and had a lot of meaning in his life because he chose to make his time in Auschwitz meaningful. So never underestimate the power of your own mind and your own presence to change the meaning of a situation. And it actually changes your physiology, changes all these things. So that was a long excursion into various things that all comes back to the whole notion of what is happiness. And to me, happiness is a state of equanimity in which you are able to flourish and give your gift. And whatever that gift is, this situation could potentially enable it if you look at it in the right way. Because look, I understand you may be in a tough spot right now, and most of us are, and your spot may be tougher than most, but it ain't Auschwitz. And if somebody can get something good out of Auschwitz, guess what? We all have some hope.
That's beautiful. So like, if I kind of like rephrase it in my words, maybe we can say that it's like light falls on us, but which filters we apply to like let the light come out of us actually depends on us. And those
yes.
filters are defined by our own self. That's the brain.
Absolutely. And the more you actually believe in the fact that you have agency, so that's why I call it the happiness active principles. You can always do those things, and nobody can ever keep you from being the best version of you. Nobody can ever keep you from making other people feel like $1 million. So you have the latitude to shine your light, no matter how the rest of the world is doing. And that's one of the central tenets of the whole Tao of Dating program, which is probably how you found out about me, which is be the light. So people are looking for validation. They're looking for somebody to say, oh, wow, you're beautiful. Oh, wow, you're a potentially suitable partner for me. Oh, wow, would you like to marry me? But that's power that can be taken away at any moment, right? Even if you have a perfect body, you may go to a country where that's not considered the beauty ideal, or you may get sick, or you may suddenly go on a gigantic donut binge. I don't know, but the point is those external validators are not lasting. Your ability to make other people feel great, your ability to appreciate the world, your ability to express gratitude cannot be taken away from you. And just like Dr. Frankl said, my ability to run my mind the way I wanted to, nobody could take that away from me. So we can always start there and build from it.
Very nice and very meaningful. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Great question. Okay, good. These are good questions. More questions. If you don't have questions, that's totally cool. We've come up to an hour, but I'm happy to answer questions as long as you have them. So you got the books, you got the titles. Okay, good. So, and people on Facebook Live, if you have questions, if you type them, I'll see them. So if you don't have questions, that's totally cool. So if you want to apply for the Happiness Engineering course, go to happinessengineering.com/apply. And all of these resources that I mentioned are on the page. The top blog post has the listing of the future talks. We're going to have another one tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern, very late London. I think that comes out to 1 a.m. London time. Yes, it does. And then the next one is on Saturday. That's going to be at a much more reasonable time for everybody, except for the Australians. So that's going to be at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 7 p.m. London. So all these are going to be different. So if you came to this, don't think, oh, done, got this happiness thing figured out, done and dusted. There is more. So hope you can join me and the rest of the crew then. So thank you so much for your attention. I really hope you can go ahead and incorporate these ideas into your life, and feel free to share. So these are free and open to the public, and I promise you they will not be free and open to the public forever, because I got to make a buck too. So while they are free and open to the public, please invite friends, bring them on. Happy to share and happy to learn from you. Thank you very much. I'm going to open it up, unmute all. Thank you all for coming. Hope you can use all this stuff. Go forth and conquer and meditate lots.